The following program is presented by the Nerdy Show Podcast Network, geeky programming for all nerds and otaku across the multiverse. All Nerdy Show programming is made possible by A Comic Shop, Orlando's number one comic shop and nerd destination, and with the generous support of listeners like you. For more Nerdy Show podcasts, community forums, and to learn how you can support this and other fine Nerdy Show programming, visit nerdyshow.com. This is the 28th episode.
Hey guys, this is the 28th episode of the Wicked Anime Podcast, and I'm Dylan, and all I do is introduce people, so...
Get on it.
Yeah. With me in my apartment is the hippest man in the room, Glitch.
What's up?
There he is. And across the pond is the stupid awesome analyst, John.
Yo.
And a hard man with harder opinions, Andrew.
Hello.
I almost forgot to say your name.
It was so lackluster to begin with that...
Well, thanks.
I meant all of us, all right? It's a group effort, or a group non-effort, rather.
Yeah.
Yeah, whatever.
Oh, we have a ladybug in our recording room.
In the middle of winter, guys.
Everyone hold the phone. Ladybug in the recording room.
And it's too cold for you, ladybug. Go home.
This is great.
Okay, so the only way to get out of this downward spell is to ring the news bell, and we ring it. News. There we go. That's what a bell sounds like. First up in media news today, Oscar nominations, or the, I don't know what you call pre-nominations, like the list of nominees, I guess, or things that have been nominated to be nominated.
Yeah.
Nominees?
Nominees.
That's what they call, like, chef nominees. Nominees.
Yeah. Anyways, Anime News Network posted the list of all of the animation nominees.
And three of them are anime.
Three of them are anime, which hopefully this time around one of them will actually get nominated, because if you look at this list of... there have been 16 animated films put in... Hopefully, one of the animes is going to go through, because, guys, this year, animation hasn't really been doing that good. I can run down the list. Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs 2, The Croods, Despicable Me 2, Epic, Ernest and Celestine, which I haven't heard of, The Fake, Free Birds, Frozen, Kumba, The Legend of Cirilla, Monster University, Apostolo. I think that
one was the last one.
Yeah. Planes, Rio, The Smurfs 2, and Turbo.
Smurfs 2 is totally going to win.
And the animes that have been nominated along with it is The Wind Rises, which is Hayao Miyazaki's new Studio Ghibli film.
Which is going to be freaking awesome.
Yeah. The Madoka Magica movie.
Yeah, which is... Wow.
Yeah. And Production IG's A Letter to Momo, which looks amazing. I really want to see that. I haven't gotten a chance to see it, but it looks awesome.
It was actually playing at the Museum of Fine Arts the same, like, week as when we went to go see Wolf Children.
Which, I cannot believe Wolf Children did not get at least thrown into the nomination pool.
Because, yeah, that's kind of annoying.
Because it was a great film, and it totally deserves it. If you guys remember, back in 2011...
Still, we've been doing this for this long? 2 years?
Yeah.
What, we don't even know what he's going to say.
Back in 2011, Summer Wars was thrown into the nomination pool, but it never got nominated the list.
Because they're stupid.
Yeah. And what ended up winning that year? Was it Brave? Was that the same year Brave won, or was that the year
Rango.
After?
Rango Unchained.
Smurf won.
I would totally watch that movie.
Rango Unchained.
Rango Unchained.
They use lizard instead of the N-word. It's a lizard on a horse.
The L-word.
That is our word.
My lizard.
So being back on topic,
which happens rarely if you're a new listener. Some of one of our fans emailed us and said that they actually kind of like our tangents.
Yeah,
just saying.
Which
I'm going to throw my personal note into. I like our tangents too.
It makes us sound like we're interesting and spontaneous.
I would totally watch the news if they just went on random tangents.
They did. Speaking of
this, they just keep spewing news. I'm like, I don't want to watch this.
Yeah. So out of that list of animated movies, I'm hoping that at least finally we see an anime movie. At least nominated. Yeah, at least nominated. Yeah. I would like to see that.
That makes too much sense.
Next up in media news, kind of surprised on a couple different levels here. Book sales, like for the month of October, have revealed that the Attack on Titan Volume 1 graphic novel, or manga, has placed number one in book sales for October. It beat out, like, the new Walking Dead volume and all those other things.
Because the TV has screwed up the comic book for everybody.
Yeah. But nobody realizes that. Nobody knows that the TV show has messed up the graphic novel. Everybody's just like, yeah, Walking Dead is so awesome! It's like, really?
You get couple of people that... Either you get the fans who read the book first, saw Walking Dead. This is nothing like it, but I'll still watch it. There are the fans who read Walking Dead, the comic, see the movie. It's not a movie, but the TV show, and think, this is nothing like the Walking Dead comic, but it sucks, so I can't watch it.
Yeah.
There's people who just watch the Walking Dead TV show, who get discovered about the comic and like, oh, this is different. Just fuck it. And then there's people who will get into the comic because of the show and realize that the show sucks compared to the comic.
Yeah.
And then there's people who live in shanty towns and they don't get to do any of that. Yeah.
they just drink moonshine and sing-alongs.
I don't think that's what's going on in shanty towns. I think they're just trying to survive.
Shanty towns are where pirates are from, right?
No.
And I love moonshine.
Because they sing shanties, right?
Was that a joke?
It was my attempt at a joke.
I admire your efforts, sir.
You get an A for effort.
Thank you. I've been working on my stand-up routine.
However, could use some work.
I've been working on my stand-up routine. Should I open with that one?
You should sit down for it.
Okay.
You should open with your closer, I think.
Oh.
What were we talking about?
How people like us going on tangents? On Titan.
Yeah, whoever liked the tangents is really going to dig this episode.
Yeah.
So next. Attack on Titan beat out everything, huh? Wait, why do you think Attack on Titan got number one, though?
As I see it, Attack on Titan, I think, is the anime that's bridging the gap between normal people and otakus.
Oh, that brings up a really good point, because it has led to a new development in the like whole Adult Swim Space Dandy thing. Did we talk about this last week?
Yeah.
The last episode? But even still, I mean, it's something worth bringing up, is that the gap is getting closer and closer, you know, or smaller and smaller, rather.
Yeah. If you guys actually want to hear us talk even more about Space Dandy and the, you know, U.S. Japanese simultaneous release...
And then I think we talk about boobies and Hooters for a while.
Yeah, you can go to the Boston Bastard Brigade website, which we're really good friends with them. And the new episode of No Borders No Race podcast with Evan, we talk with Sarah and Evan about Space Dandy.
Yeah,
oh, I thought you were going to reference our last episode. That's what
and
I was
our last
about.
Episode, but we go into more detail on No Borders No Race.
Yeah, we talk intelligently about it for like 10 minutes.
Wait, we don't talk intelligently on this show?
I don't know. Do you want to make that call on your own glitch?
We're quite intelligent.
No, I agree. We are quite intelligent.
On off topics.
We went to film school.
We went to cartoon school.
Yeah, Glitch went to film school.
We went to the same school.
Actually, yeah.
We did. We all went to the same school. I don't know what you guys are talking about.
We're learning that we all got our education from the same source, and this is the quality that we can produce.
Yeah. Okay, time to move on to some gaming news now. Dylan, you played the Dark Souls 2 beta, right?
I did. It was a worldwide network test that only lasted 3 hours, and because I guess it was the servers are in Japan, I'm assuming, it took place during 2 a.m. and 5 a.m. last night, or this morning, at least on Eastern time zone. So
hours did you play it at?
I was up the whole time. I played about a little more than 2 hours of it, and then I watched a live stream for the rest of it. But it's more Dark Souls. It's cool.
Is it exactly the same?
No. It's similar with, like, improvements, and then I also noticed some things that were in Demon Souls seem to have come back that weren't in Dark Souls.
Oh, cool.
The health thing that was in Demon Souls looks like it's back to where once you die, your health bar, it gets capped at a lower point, but becoming human is much more easy, I think, which is nice. For those of you who played Dark Souls, you understand what I'm talking about.
which I think in this case is you.
Oh, yeah, it's just me and one other person listening to this. One thing I thought was interesting, though, was it took place at, like, ungodly hours in North America and South America, and you would assume that only, like, the most hardcore, like, knowledgeable players would want to play at that, like, because they're the only people who actually know that the beta's happening.
Right.
But I was surprised that I was playing with some people who seemed like they didn't know what they were doing. I played with one dude who I summoned him in my game to help me fight a boss, and he immediately got killed by one of the weaker enemies.
That was
disappointing. It was very beta like. It was unlike a lot of the other betas that come out like a month or two before the game's release, and it's like, hey, it's a beta, even though the game is completely done. This was actually, like, a beta. I could tell, like, it seemed like some of the sounds weren't final and some of the effects weren't, but,
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. It was definitely more Dark Souls. Oh, I did want to mention they revamped, like, the menu system, and I actually liked it a lot more. It's way easier to look through all the stuff that you're carrying. I don't know. I could continue to go into more detail, but I feel like everyone has stopped listening because they care about Dark Souls.
What's up?
Yeah, exactly.
Next up in gaming news, Andrew and I had the opportunity to go to MIT over last weekend and try the Oculus Rift system.
Yay!
And you did not. Anybody who needs to know what the Oculus Rift system is, in 2012 there was a Kickstarter to fund the Oculus Rift, which is a pair of VR virtual reality goggles that you wear on your face. And you can look around environments 360 degrees.
In real time.
In real time, yep.
And, yeah, you're playing a game on your face, and it's the first step into virtual reality and people losing touch with real life.
There are some really funny videos of people playing games with Oculus Rift, especially horror games.
Oh, no, I've seen a lot of horror games for Oculus, and that's what I mean. That was one of the great things about watching it, is you're wearing a horror game on your face. You can't get away from that. It's absolutely amazing.
Yeah, the one guy I saw that was playing it, he's saying that, like, because it, like, in-game, when you see a monster on your screen, the screen's still, like, 5-10 feet away from you. With the Oculus Rift, it's like the monster's right in front of you.
Yeah. Yeah, because one guy we talked to said it almost gets a little too real. Yeah, he was playing Outlast, which is...
Who wet themselves.
If you guys don't know what Outlast is, you should, because it's the newest, most... Like, it's rated to be the scariest game ever made now, like, above Amnesia almost. And he said that when you play Outlast with the Oculus Rift, the jump scares that they created have turned into real scares. Like, and your body doesn't understand how to deal with that.
Yeah.
You know what would be a good game for that, scary-wise? Fatal Frame.
Yeah, Fatal Frame would be horrifying.
And see, one of the things that they said was Oculus Rift is actually really cool to play with third-person games, because most of them are first-person games, but third-person games are really cool because it's almost like you're playing with an action figure.
Yeah.
Huh.
One of the first mods that came out for it was Team Fortress 2.
Yeah.
That was one of the first actual AAA title games that came out for it.
Well, no, not came out, but they modded it. Like, right. You can make it's all modding.
Right. And the best part about Oculus Rift is that all the games now are free because it's an indie development system. And you can buy one for only $300.
Yeah, you can still buy Oculus Rifts for $300. And all the games are free because they're all indie developed and they're all beta testing. It's absolutely amazing.
Yeah. One of the games that I played at the demo, it was just these two guys. They weren't even a studio. They just did stuff. And they weren't planning on taking it anywhere or anything like that. They didn't have a controller for the game or anything. You just sat down on a chair, or on a couch, or lie down, whatever you preferred. and you put the goggles on, and you were just sitting in the middle of a forest. It was an infinite forest with a fog in it, and there was just an infinite loop of leaves falling from the sky.
Yeah.
You could sit there, and it was like zen.
Yeah, so it's like a screensaver, but for real life.
Yeah.
Yeah, actually, that's exactly what I said.
But, like, you could look all around the forest, you know, you could just look at all the trees that randomly generated around you. It was awesome.
And looking at the games that came out for it, I was looking around the room that we were in and everybody was playtesting, and I said, this is Pong. Yeah. Everybody is making Pong. Because all the games are so simple, but we're blown away by them. Like these games are, like 10 years stepping back from what we have now.
Yeah.
But we're blown away by it because it's a completely different experience. Oculus Rift is our generation's Pong.
Yep.
It's so amazing. Like, I have not had any kind of experience playing video games like I have since wearing the Oculus Rift. It's absolutely incredible.
One of the funny things about it, though, one of the developers that was giving a lecture that we were talking to, he was telling some of the funniest things. Like, some people will never be able to play Oculus Rift because they just, their brains can't handle it. Some people are built that they will just automatically never be able to play it.
Yeah, because some games will get you sick.
One of the things that he was talking about, you know how Half-Life 2 has seamless, it has no loading screens, it's just a seamless gameplay? One of the things that he was talking about was that has to go away. Loading screens are actually a good thing. Like, you have to have a fade-out or something like that, because when you're wearing the Oculus Rift and you're looking 360 degrees all the way around, your brain thinks that you're looking at reality. So when something like a seamless loading screen happens, like in Half-Life 2, and the screen just stops...
Yeah, the game just freezes.
And you start looking around, but your eyes aren't registering anything new, your brain thinks something's wrong, and will automatically think it needs to expel something from your body in order to make it right again. So playing a game like Half-Life 2 will literally make you sick, and you cannot do anything about it.
Hmm.
I have a question for you guys, since you played it.
Yeah.
I was curious, since I wear the spectacles, how does that work with the Oculus Rift? Could you still see fine without wearing the glasses?
Well, you can play without wearing your glasses.
I was told by somebody...
That's kind of what I thought.
Yeah, I was told by somebody, a guy who was there demoing his game called Roller Derby Robot Dodgeball. I think that was the name of it. It was really...
Disco Dodgeball.
Disco Dodgeball. Yeah, he told me that it was better if I kept my glasses on.
Yeah.
And I did. I could see it a little bit clearer, actually. So it's weird because it's almost like you have a depth when you're playing the games. But the screen itself is adjustable, so you can pull it all the way forward so that the lenses don't actually touch your glasses.
All right. Okay. Gotcha.
Yeah. I was going to question, like, what about all of us with
there
glasses?
You go, nerds.
Yeah.
Yeah, guys, it's...
They match all shapes of glasses.
A final...
There are different cup sizes that you can put on the goggles as well. Like, there's... Like, yeah. Literal, like, grades, like, one...
Which is just smiling.
Yes, that was, boob joke. Ha ha ha.
I feel sorry for the person with double D glasses, though.
One final bit, just to wrap it up. Oculus Rift, virtual reality, is exactly as you would imagine it. And if you get the chance to try it, do.
Yes.
Because it is amazing. It seriously is the future. And I can, because we went from, like, think about it, guys. We went from Sega Genesis to Xbox 360 in about 10 years. That's incredible. Can you imagine what virtual reality is going to be like in 10 years? We'll literally have Sword Art Online. Like, people hooked up to, like, IVs.
That might not be a good thing.
No, that's a terrible
thing. Imagine how cold it is.
No, that's a terrible thing, but it will happen.
Yeah, you actually brought up a reminded me of a good point. We didn't bring up to make this come full circle. Porn games. There are porn games in development for the Oculus Rift already. They're actually anime style, and
yes, because they're Japanese developers.
Yeah, and we've actually been told...
I think there's
a
U.S. developer that said that they were developing one, too.
Yeah, there is.
But we've been told by people who have tried it that hyper-realism does not work for Oculus Rift. It actually looks... The more cartoony games are for the Oculus Rift, the better it works.
Yeah, and what he said was, playing all the different games that he had played, because they're all free, manga-style characters are the most appealing, and the games run smoother because there are less polycounts and less detailed.
Yep.
So games will run smoother, they look nicer, and I thought that was wicked cool.
And so the hentai games that are out there right now that are to try, there's actually no sex in them yet.
Yeah, they're still in beta.
Because that takes place outside the Oculus Rift.
Right. but that is something that exists and will exist in the future.
Wait for the Wicked Anime review.
Yes, wait for the...
I'll be the first to try it out.
Okay.
So, one last quick thing. I don't know if you guys are Sega kids and have to play Nintendo systems like I do now. Nintendo 3DS is buying up Sega Genesis games for Virtual Console on your 3DS. Yeah, so starting in December, there's going to be like I think 9 different games, and for each try period of December, like once a week, there will be a new release, and the 3 games that I saw. That is absolutely incredible to me, is the releasing Streets of Rage, which I will buy instantly, Shinobi 3, which is the best of the Shinobi franchise, in my opinion, and Altered Beast. Those are all being released.
Yeah.
What about Barney Hide and Seek?
Not yet, dude.
Nope. But you can get Echo the Dolphin.
Look for it on the Oculus Rift.
Yeah. Okay, so now it's time to move on to some strange news.
Yay.
Yep.
Yay.
First up in strange news, we have a new Internet Explorer mascot.
Yay!
It's not official. The Singapore branch of Microsoft has developed a Moe anime character for
Internet Explorer.
For Internet Explorer. Her name is Inori Aizawa. And she's an action star or something.
And she like hates bullies. And
is
they
she
all have
really slow?
See, the stranger part would be that the fact that people actually still use Internet Explorer.
Yep. It's actually brought back some interest in Internet Explorer, believe it or not.
Netscape Navigator.
Yes.
Netscape.
But this new development has brought up something that has actually been something for a long time. They're actually called, I believe it's called Moetan.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, Moetan, I believe.
And what Moetan is, they have things like consultons and internet-tons, you know, those sorts of things.
Yeah, OS-tons.
Yeah, which are basically just Moe versions or Moe personifications of...
Of things, yeah.
Things, yeah.
So like with the new release of Windows 8, there were two versions of Windows 8 released, Windows RT and Windows 8, and they basically made them into sisters.
Yep.
Like, there's an older sister, which is Windows 8, and the younger sister, which is Windows RT.
And they have, of course, they have Firefox ones. They have ones for Xbox. They have, I think there's a PS3 one,
too. Yeah, there is. There's Xbox and PS3.
But this Moetan thing has really caught on with... The Internet Explorer.
As the news article says, Microsoft has discovered the power of Moe.
Yep. Inori Aizawa has her own fan page on Facebook, which has hundreds of thousands of fans, which is interesting for Internet Explorer.
How many does Internet Explorer's fan page have?
Exactly.
But
can you have negative numbers?
But they have internet videos now, like animations, like full-on animations of advertisements that
Where
use...
Where are they getting the money for this?
I have no idea.
Fans?
Because Microsoft themselves have said that this Inori Aizawa character isn't actually official. It's just something that the Singapore branch did. And it was successful, but Microsoft is not 100% getting behind it.
So that makes way too much sense.
They're a bunch of squares.
Yeah. Glitch, you said Netscape, and I don't know how many people, like, we have younger listeners, too. I don't know how many of them will get that
they
reference.
They should make their own Moe and call it the Netscape Navigator. You can travel through stars, systems, and go to planets, i.e. websites.
Guys, email us at wickedanimereviews@gmail.com to tell us if you know what Netscape even is.
Or leave a comment on Facebook.
You guys remember Net Zero?
Yeah. I actually think they're still around.
They are still around. Who knows what they do now?
Yeah. Is AOL still around?
They probably make sandwiches. I don't know.
AOL is still around. Actually, they still have an email service.
I would love to watch, like, a 10-year-old watch You've Got Mail now. Like, what the fuck is this?
And the 10-year-old actually talk like that nowadays.
Yeah, he would say that. He's like, why aren't they sexting yet? That would probably be a 10-year-old's response.
Why don't we want email? Why don't we just text her?
Kids these days, am I right?
Text her pictures of your junk.
Don't do that. Wicked Anime, we are not endorsing any of this stuff. Yeah, don't do bad things. Okay, next up in strange news. That was strange. That got stranger. Next up in strange news.
That was a good cap on that. Don't do bad things.
So next up in strange news, Russia claims that that Chinese irons, like things that you iron your clothes with, have been implanted with chips that transmit viruses and spam to unsecure internet sources, like within a 200-mile radius, or 200-degree...
Meter?
200 meters, holy crap. Yes. I guess there's been reports on Russian news sites and stuff like that, that anything Chinese made, or the irons Chinese
yeah,
made...
Yeah, irons and tea kettles.
...have Wi-Fi
tea
chips.
Tea kettles?
Yep.
What? There's no electronics in a tea kettle, is there? I don't know how that works.
Is it like the ones you just plug in and boil?
I guess. I don't know. But
it's what it says. I don't know.
Yeah, straight from the article, that they contain mini microphones and chips that can plant viruses in nearby computer equipment via home Wi-Fi networks. I don't know where to go from there.
Buy America, people.
Buy American.
It'll be 9,000 times more expensive, but...
Probably.
It's safe-ish. Because America doesn't like spy on us.
I guess that the BBC News Network also reported that the program found similar chips installed inside the likes of in-car cameras and mobile phones, which is actually something that isn't too different from here, because isn't like Verizon listening to us?
Hey, Verizon.
So I guess it's happened. I guess it's happened somewhere in the UK too. So interesting. Microchips,
China,
Russia, implanted in our brains.
Nukes.
What do we say to things like that, John?
That's as strange as it gets.
Don't do bad things.
Okay. What are we watching? What are we watching?
Wouldn't you want to know?
I actually haven't watched anything new other than the things that we've already been talking about for the past 3 weeks.
Yeah, for the new season of anime. I have been watching new stuff, so I don't know if Dylan and Glitch, are you guys?
Anime? Glitch?
No new anime?
I'm not an anime, but did Turtles and Korra still.
As always. So. I guess Andrew's the only one who's been watching something this weekend.
Okay, so I've been watching, because of its popularity, and everybody's been talking about it, well, for a long time, not because it's not a new anime, was Toradora.
Well, the reason why people started talking about that again is because the guy who made it,
he
created a new series.
Yeah, it made Golden Time, which is coming out this for the fall season of anime. I'm not watching it, but I'm watching Toradora, and it's really good. It's a comedy slice of life romance, that kind of a thing, but it's funny. So I'm sure I don't really need to explain Toradora to people because I'm jumping on this bandwagon really late. But I just so you know, I am enjoying it, and I've been watching it on Crunchyroll, and Crunchyroll only has the first 6 episodes in non-premium, and then the rest of the series is in premium. So I haven't finished watching it yet, but I'll probably get my premium account.
Crunchyroll, start sponsoring us.
Yeah. I would love for Crunchyroll to sponsor us. Crunchyroll and J-List, that would be the best.
Can we get free stuff from J-List? That
would be awesome. But what I really want to talk about is something I got from Rhode Island Comic Con, which is just, when I saw it, I had to get it. It's a show called Spider-Man, and which... Mm-hmm. It's from 1978.
That's a good start.
It's the Japanese Spider-Man TV show.
Oh, yeah.
And, where it kind of started all the Sentai stuff.
And it's so funny.
It's like it's one of the greatest shows I've ever seen. I'm so entertained by it. Spider-Man has a motorcycle and a robot.
Yeah, and a giant mech just like the real Spider-Man.
Okay. He calls out like all the spider powers, like spider string, like and stuff like that. It's just so funny. Like it's literally a thing that we. Like, when we were still living in Florida, we'd be sitting in our living room watching these ridiculous TV shows, like, just laughing at them. This is that one.
This is the live-action one, right?
Yeah, this is live-action.
Yeah, I think there's some random GIFs online of this show that have been floating around.
Well, I have the whole DVD set. I have all 50 episodes on DVD.
Nice.
And just because we promised we would plug him, this is the guy who I bought it from is running. I got this at Rhode Island Comic Con, but he's also running New Jersey Comic Con.
Yeah, Jersey Comic Con.
Oh, Jersey Con. And so if you guys are in New Jersey.
December.
Yeah,
December 13th.
Yeah, we're not anywhere near.
We're sorry.
But yeah, go check out Jersey Con because you can get more of these crazy DVDs that I found. I almost bought the full set of Star Blazers. Because he also had the full set of Star Blazers, which, if you don't know, it's Space Battleship Yamato. And
all 200 episodes
And all 200 episodes of the Japanese Sailor Moon. So I almost got those, but I didn't have enough money. So I bought Spider-Man. And it's awesome. You expect a review for Spider-Man, because I'm super entertained by it.
Spider-Man. That's what all the... That's what they say.
Okay, so it's time to move on to our Tamagotchi. And this Tamagotchi actually came from a fan who suggested that we talk about animes where you learn something.
Yeah.
Things about the culture, sports, games, anything that you would not normally know from just living in Western culture like we do.
Actually, that's an interesting start to think because the ones that I've been watching that do have things that you learn at, like, they're mostly sports.
Yeah,
where you learn about them, and the one that I've seen recently is iShield 21, which they teach you how to play American football. So that one actually pertains to Japan as opposed to Americans.
So let's start off with sports we learn. Then we'll start off with this topic with sports you learn from anime.
None.
Card
games.
Really? Because
Beyblade.
One of the
That's why. Well, there you go.
We haven't gotten to games yet, guys.
Let's jump ahead.
Dungeon Dice Monsters.
One of the
Dog
shows.
Fighting?
Shut up!
They make a Michael Vick anime? Oh, Pokemon. Oh.
Got him!
That's what he's yelling.
All right.
Use Bite!
Oh my gosh. Anyway, talking about sports.
We were just talking about sports.
Yes, dog fighting is a sport, right? Don't do bad things. Don't be Michael Vick.
He served his time.
Bamboo Blade. Bamboo Blade. Yeah, learn about Kendo and Bamboo Blade. Gosh. Because that's a good anime for learning, all the rules. What the specific hits mean, like a head hit, a body hit, a leg hit, what you call out when you actually hit someone. You learn, like, the stances, the proper sword stances, different techniques.
Yeah. That show was really funny,
too. Yeah, that show was funny. I enjoyed it.
The thing about that show is I watched it, and as I was watching it, I realized it was, like, Kendo would, if I was living in Japan or growing up in Japan, that's probably a club that I would want to join. I might want to join the Kendo club, although all the coaches seem like they act like drill sergeants.
I know what sport I learned something from.
What's that?
Air gear.
Blades!
How to fly on the wing groove.
We're talking about, oh my gosh, Glitch. I think you're the only one that watched Air Gear.
Yeah, like out of everyone... Ever.
No, he got popped up to have a Broadway show.
Really?
Yeah.
Air Gear, the Broadway show? See, I just learned something.
Air Gear just taught you something.
No, well.
So really, not, you guys haven't watched any sports anime? Because I know that they do a lot of baseball and soccer, which everybody
Why would
knows
I
about.
Watch a sports anime?
I don't know, man. I don't know, Dylan.
I'm here to see people shoot things, like big rockets or lasers with their palms or fight. Or puts huge creatures into small balls.
Tracers into small balls.
I want to. This is my escape from reality. Don't give me sports.
Okay, then. So let's talk about games. That one's a little bit more broad.
We've already covered that.
We did.
Yeah, your Beyblades, your
Bakugan. Well,
your Bakugan.
We're talking about real things here, like Hanafuda and Shogi. Well,
I learned nothing about Hanafuda other than it's really confusing. Why does a hill beat a sparrow? I don't understand.
Mahjong is still confusing to me.
We tried to learn it after we watched Summer Wars. We tried to learn the goes of what the goings ons is of Hanafuda, and it is super confusing. I mean, there's I don't understand how you get points and why things happen and why things beat out other things.
Yes. I tried playing them and it's like, okay, so I got the sunrise and I've got all three. I got the sunrise, the hill, and the crane all lined up together. And now all my points are gone. I don't know why I've lost.
Yeah, apparently when Japanese come to card games and board games, they make things that are incredibly confusing to Westerners. Because apparently Go is from, you know, like Hikari no Go. Like, that is a show that teaches you how to play Go, but it's totally blown away. Like, you have just no idea what they're doing.
Isn't it something like even people in Japan don't know how to play Go still?
I swear I've heard that one time, but very few people actually know how to play Go.
Yeah.
Like, something like the creator of the show doesn't fully grasp it or something like that. How funny would that be? If the creator of the show doesn't fully grasp his own game,
that'd be funny.
Now, it would be, and then the other one would be Shogi, which you see them playing Shogi everywhere, which they usually, in translations, they usually just call it chess, because that's pretty much what Shogi is, I think.
Okay, Glitch and I have no idea what these are. Go, Shogi.
I know what Mahjong is.
Yeah,
I think Sudoku? Everybody knows Mahjong. Sudoku. Can you imagine if there was an anime series about Sudoku? Just like the best Sudoku player ever.
Yeah, could you imagine just like the speed line just going down with a pencil and a piece of paper?
Probably be an etchy anime.
And then he writes a 2 on the piece of paper and everybody's like, what?
Gainax, yeah.
Because that's how they dramatize animes. No, Go is like where you have the little black and white marble pieces. And I have no idea how it works. That's all I know about it.
Oh, yeah. What's that game they play in Naruto? That Shikamaru.
I couldn't tell you the name of it.
Yeah, who knows? Who
they played Paicho in Avatar The Last Airbender. Teach me how to shogi. Teach me how to shogi. What? Teach me how to shogi. Teach me how to shogi.
Wow, if we're, like, not answering any of the questions we're asking, it's at least entertaining.
Right? I think the real takeaway from this is we really haven't learned anything.
Not sports-wise or game-wise.
The only thing I've learned is that it seems like in Japan there are just no parents anywhere from anime. They're always on business trips. I don't understand it.
Also, if you're over 18, you can't save the world.
Yeah,
you gotta help save the world, but you can't save it yourself.
Yeah.
Okay. I got one that is relevant to all of us, and we actually do know a good amount of it. And I watched the first episode of that show, Gundam Build Fighters.
Okay.
And where the show is about, yes, they're battling their Gunpla, which is actually, it was a really cool show, by the way. I really, really enjoyed the first episode. But they actually have a crap ton of information about actual Gunpla. And, you know, they teach you about the model kits, and they teach you about the pieces and how to put them together and making seams and closing seams. Things that actually are relevant to making a model look good. Because apparently the good-looking models don't necessarily fight well, but it's you're more professional if it does look well or look good. One of the things that I actually found interesting was they're actually releasing this Gundam Build Fighter models, like from this Gundam Build Fighter show. So like in between the show, in between the show they actually have. From the one that I was watching, they actually have commercials for Gunpla, and like they're releasing Gunplas as the series goes on of, you know, custom Gunplas that get released, which is wicked cool. Which we really don't do that here in the United States anymore, where we were used to release toys as a show came out, but people really don't have an interest in that anymore now that the internet exists.
Right. Well, I gotta give it this. I haven't learned much about sports from animes, but I do learn a lot more about the culture or have the need to research certain things in the culture.
Real quick,
there are no hockey animes. I would love to watch a hockey anime.
There's no parkour animes either.
Parkour animes.
Parkour's not a real sport. I'm sorry, that people who do parkour, that was mean.
They're going to bust in through your window and roll on the floor and punch you in the face all in one seamless motion. And then they're going to upload it to YouTube with their GoPro.
You know, I can't even be mad at that. I hate you, Dylan.
Hey, real quick, does Yu-Gi-Oh! Actually teach you how to play the card game?
Sort of.
Yeah. Not really, because the cards in real life are a lot of times way different than they are on the show.
I know, the Blue-Eyes White Dragon is the end-all be-all if you don't have Exodia.
Because you can buy, like, the starter decks that are actually, like, pretty close to what they have in the show, and those are, like, the weakest decks. I don't know how it is now. I haven't done that in a long time, but there's at like least what, when that? I... Yeah, when I was younger and did it, that's how it seemed to go.
When the guy's actual name was Yugi, there's, like, what... 5 different Yu-Gi-Ohs now?
Yeah. Yeah, well, that was the only thing. I just wanted to know whether or not, like, the original Yu-Gi-Oh series, like, actually taught you how to play the card game, or were they just, like, making it up as they go along so that they could just make a show seem interesting, like, give the illusion that people are professional at something.
A little bit of column A, most of column B.
I feel like they probably made it up as they went, and then they probably just had, like, a team of people that made the real cards make sense somehow.
Probably. They probably took the magic engine and just made a Yu-Gi-Oh cards. Cultural stuff. There's a lot of cultural things that you can learn from Japan by watching anime. One of the first ones that I can think of is Azumanga Daioh. Just because that was one of the first ones that was released that gives you a good idea of just the basics of, you know, Japanese school life.
Yeah, even school life, because they go through an entire 4 years of high school.
Yep.
Or 3 years. I don't know how many
3 years.
3 years of high school. And one of those things that I saw the most, obviously, is the culture festivals that they have in school. How come we don't have culture festivals at our school?
Like, makes too much sense.
It seems like the best day off ever. Like, especially because you get to plan it with your class. And
what goes on in a cultural, which medio?
Well, it's different for each class. Like, each class, like, consults the class president, and they throw in ideas of what they want to turn their classroom into. So, people do cafe, like, turn their classrooms into cafes, they turn their classrooms into haunted houses, they turn their classrooms into markets, like art shows, anything they want. And basically the students' families come to the school. And purchase things for the class and donate money to the school, kind of a thing.
Hmm. Yeah, it's really interesting.
Yeah, it seems awesome. Like one of the main things I just remember from Azumanga Daioh is Chiyo-chan dresses the giant penguin and Miss Yukari pushing her because she could.
One of the interesting things, like if we go really basic here, one of the interesting things I learned about Japanese culture is that students go to school all year round. That they only have, and that the other part of it too is that America is one of the only cultures that has.
Well, we run off of a German system, like the German style of schooling,
where they have summer vacations and small vacations. Whereas
there's some schools in the U.S. that you run year round.
Yeah, I think there's like in Arizona they do it,
like the school that we all went to.
Yep. Our college was basically Asian schooling.
Well, I thought we were talking about like grade schools or high school.
Well, we are, but like I said, Arizona has, I think, implemented. What was funny about that?
I don't know. Just like I said, Arizona.
Yeah, Arizona has a schooling system that goes year to school all year round.
But that was, when I was younger, that was one of the first things that, like, it just blew me away that it was, that, you know, Japan goes to school all year round.
Yeah, they basically have a 2-week break every season.
Yeah, every semester there's 2 weeks that they get off, and that's, you know, summer vacation, Christmas vacation, spring break, all those sorts of things. And then after the summer break, they're in a new school year.
Yeah, a new school year, and they change classes.
Mainly, like, culture, religion, mythology, and kind of like the gods of Japanese culture and whatnot. I learned a lot about the Tanuki.
Yeah.
That was, like, one of my first discoveries.
Actually, that's very very true, believe it or not. The whole Tanuki thing and the shape-shifting that they do, and yep. they think that their ball sacks are hilarious, so they draw them on everything.
Yeah, and they use them for everything, too, like carrying stuff, parasailing,
yeah.
fighting.
What is going on? What are you
Oh,
what are
Dylan's
you
about to learn something new.
Do you know what a Tanuki is?
No.
Have you played Super Mario 3?
Which one's that?
It's the one with the Tanuki costume.
and then there's they're also known as raccoon dogs.
They're an actual animal in Japan, for one, and they're also a mythic creature of travel and wonder, and they're like the merchant symbol of Japan.
Yeah, because they're known, Tanukis are known to be tricksters. They shapeshift, and like they can shapeshift into whatever they want to
trick. In real life?
Yeah, in real life. And gotcha. And like they swindle you out of things, basically.
And their huge sacks are pretty much for longevity.
That was the point where I was not understanding what was going on.
The more lucrative a Tanuki is, the bigger its sack, kind of thing.
Yeah, it's we're being dead serious. Like the people of Japan, one, they think it's hilarious. They think they think the scrotums on a Tanuki are cute and hilarious. So they in all their Tanuki art. They always
draw.
If
you see some of the ancient drawings, yeah, they are hilarious.
And this
gives everybody who plays Animal Crossing a new look at Tom Nook. Why do you think he wears that apron?
Why do you think? Oh my gosh!
Oh, a little trivia: the leaf. Most Tanukis need a leaf to transform, which is kind of makes sense for the Mario raccoon thing.
Yeah,
sort of.
Because the symbol is a leaf. Yeah.
And why Tom Nook and Nook is short for Tanuki, or Tom Nook Tanuki kind of thing, and the leaf on his apron is kind of the symbol for Tanukis, and also why he's a businessman who swindles you into getting a free house and being in debt for your entire life.
That was one of the funniest things I thought was like how everybody just looks at him as like a loan shark and a crime boss, and all the creators were like, "No, that's not how we intended him," but all the fans are like, "That's what he is, guys."
But based off of what, like, consider what he's based off of, who are tricksters and swindlers.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah.
And kitsunes and whatnot, considering like Naruto, or if you watch Inuyasha and can stay awake during the entire thing, even some of the demons in the story and folklore. And
oh my gosh.
The original Dragon Ball is based off of Journey to the West, which made me read the book, and it's a really good book.
It does it. Are there pages of just, chapter 5. Last time on Journey to the West. Actually, it's kind of the same thing where Dragon Ball Z is based off Journey of the West. Ikitosen is based off of...
Dragon Ball, the original Dragon Ball is based off Journey to the West. Ball Z is kind of just whatever it wants
to be. Yeah, just Dragon Ball Z. No, Ikitosen is based off of Romance of the Three Kingdoms. Just placed in high schools,
and they turned into a boob anime.
Yeah, I thought that was hilarious. How about fireworks festivals? Occasions where, like, there's always animes where, like, Azumanga is one of them, My Bride is a Mermaid is another one, pretty much any slice of life anime, you can almost guarantee they're gonna go to a fireworks festival, where, you know, the females dress in kimonos and are courted by a man, and they just, it's basically a long hallway or along just a street of vendors that, you know, have goldfish games and little prizy games and food. And then people just roam around the festivals until the fireworks start. And then everybody watches the fireworks, and then everybody gets their head cut off by Lucy. That's an Elfin Lee joke.
Gotcha.
There's going to be, like, one person with me that's like, ah!
Everyone else was like, this sounds amazing. What?
Yeah.
Is that kind of like... Our fourth, well, no, I mean, like, 4th of July is obviously something independent to us, but, like, is that why they have their festival?
I think it's just a summer festival. I think that's what they just are, is summer festivals.
Mm. Sergeant Frog taught me about some holidays that they had, like, Children's Day.
What?
Just a day where kids get presents and stuff like that.
I don't remember that.
Remember it was the episode
day.
Where...
Does it take place in December?
What?
Does it take place on December 25th?
No, it doesn't. Mm.
No, that's Christmas.
Yeah.
They do have Christmas in Japan.
What's it? Like, don't they celebrate it in a different way? It's kind of a love festival.
They do. It's more of a date night.
Yeah, it's more like a Valentine's Day of Japan.
Yeah, exactly. But they still have Santa Claus and stuff.
Holy crap! People are learning things on this podcast.
I thought this was going to
come in really useful.
I thought we had a pretty good run with a Tanuki thing. I don't know about you guys. Tanuki Santa Claus. Yeah.
But Santa Claus, look up Tanuki pictures. They're hilarious.
Tanuki Santa Claus. He delivers presents all the time.
I don't think I want anything
from
Tanuki Santa Clauses.
Full of what?
Goodies. Of Yuletide cheer.
Yuletide cheer.
Ignug. We have simultaneously educated you about Japanese culture and insulted it at the same time.
What about Japanese words that you've learned? I know, hey, wait. Chotomate.
Chotomate.
I know damn.
What? Yeah.
And baka.
Of course you do. You know, the bad ones.
Okay, that's actually something I learned on the YouTube channel just recently. Did you know that onomatopoeias are something that are essential to the Japanese language? They use sounds in order to emote what they're feeling. Like if somebody says that they're excited about something, they just say doki doki, which is the sound of a heartbeat. And that's something that really interested me. We use onomatopoeias to describe things, but we don't need them. Japan needs them. It's literally a part of their language.
Yeah, it's because, as you know, as an Asian language, it has absolutely no correlation to any kind of Romance languages or anything like that. So if you're going to learn an Asian language, you have to learn from ground zero. There's nothing to base it off of. Like, I know phrases that I hear just all the time in Japan, because nobody ever knows what's going on in anime. So everybody's always saying, "Nonde desu ka?" You know, like what is that? what the heck?
So, in a
way, what the heck is nande kore? So, I don't know. But.
So, in a way, all anime has taught us something, as long as you watch it in Japanese enough.
Yeah.
And if you research it enough, most of the things in anime are based off of their folklore and history.
I think it's hilarious that they that in their old folklore, a lot of like the forest spirits and stuff like that were all like seductresses. Like every single like old Japanese story has a has something that seduced someone else and then killed them, which I think really correlates still to their culture, where they have like a whole lot of the perversion in their shows and
there's
everything.
There's even a
like
Pokemon
that
does that.
What's that?
There's even a Pokemon that does that.
The balloon one?
No, I mean it's an ice ghost, I believe, and the whole seductress kind of thing.
Jinx?
No. Ice ghost, not ice psychic.
Machop.
Well, because there is that
check
that,
out my muscle.
there is that balloon Pokemon that
I got four arms over here, and three legs.
Oh. Anyway, the balloon Pokemon, it entices children to believe that it's a real balloon and then drags them to hell.
Wow.
Dead serious.
No, the Shadow Realm.
Whatever. Oh, man. So I think the moral of this story is,
please send us topics.
Yeah, we as Wicked Anime have learned absolutely nothing from watching Japanese anime.
Oh, man.
We think we've learned things, but we haven't learned things.
No.
I actually think it was
anime thinks we're dumb.
We're just ignorant Americans talking about a culture we don't really understand every other week.
That's the new ad.
So, okay, yeah, that's a good place to stop. We'll move on to some fan service. So, first things first, we need to clear this up. Last episode, we referred to Silver as a he. And to be completely and utterly, to correct all things, Silver is a she.
A hedgehog.
Silver is a she. And her name is Mandy.
So, Mandy, we are sorry we mistaked your identity. I know you're not offended, but we always have to say we're sorry for something like that. As I wrote in the email, in good old Wicked Anime fashion, that is not the first time we've done that, and it will not be the last. So thank you for not being offended. Anyway, so we had a discussion on the email about Berserk.
I hope you liked the episode.
And we got everything wrong, apparently, last episode about Berserk, which is totally cool. Because we do that, we're not like a reliable news source or anything like that. So to clear things up, I believe the Berserk TV show that we were talking about is actually the movies that got re-released. But the movies are really well done, and I highly recommend you still watch them. But what happened was the TV show ended the way the Berserk movies ended. And it basically just ends. Like, even though the manga kept going, the TV show doesn't conclude anything. Like, it ends on the climax of the series. And I don't know if anybody has ever watched anything where it ends on the climax, but that's a terrible place to end something.
If you know how to write stories, you know that that's just not a good thing.
So anyway, she started talking about the fandoms that she joined in the fandoms discussion, which was excellent. And what she had to say was, I have no problem with fandoms themselves, but as we put it, every single one of us is part of a fandom to a certain extent. The issue that she finds is when she finds certain people who are in an area and they're not acting mature and don't show respect or being very disrespectful. So there's nothing wrong with being passionate about the things you love. They bring you joy and they want and you want to share that with people. And that's why conventions are so great, is to be surrounded by people with those passions. You just have to be respectful about it. She said, nothing turns me off faster than when you start spouting out your fandom in an immature and disrespectful manner, and immaturity isn't just limited to kids and young fans. And everyone who tries to turn their fandom into a competition of I'm better than you really needs to get a grip, which I agree with 100%.
Word.
It's kind of like when you talk to metal fans, like metalheads, which, you know, I listen to some metal music. They always have those competitions of my genre of metal is more obscure than your metal, metal genre kind of a thing. That happens with all fandoms everywhere. Just like, no, like my shit, like, it's totally not true. Like, no show is better than another show when it comes to fandoms. People just think that's the case. So, thank you, Silver. Sorry. Yep, sorry. All right. And then the next one is from Gerardo. So, Gerardo...
What's up, buddy?
Gerardo... talking about his anime fandoms. Okay, so he says that, you know, fans are some of the most creative and inspiring people on Earth. You know, when you're a part of a fandom, fans think of things that maybe even original creators didn't initially think of, and that's really great. But we have a tendency to turn, you know, fandoms into things like political parties or crazy religions. And you know, not what they were intended to be, as just at the heart, which is a good story or a story that somebody wanted to tell, where people can turn into a closed-minded individual, not looking at other things. They want to keep themselves to their fandoms, which you know, we were talking about with the Risen Bull Rangers versus the Miniskirt Army and how they're always battling it out. One of the things he brought up was the My Little Pony fandom in particular, where when...
Spoilers.
Yeah, spoiler alert, guys.
For season three.
Yeah, for season three, if anybody has not seen season three of My Little Pony, which I have, so it was all right. Twilight Sparkle at the end turns into an alicorn. If you guys don't know, then she turns into basically Princess Twilight Sparkle. She has wings and a horn and is... all-powerful princess now, and a lot of bronies were pissed. They were like, this must change. Like, how dare you turn Twilight Sparkle into an alicorn? This changes her whole character, blah, blah, blah.
The change of character, isn't that the point?
Yeah, exactly. And that's what I mean. Like, everybody just kind of needs to step back and take a chill pill, because this is the writer's story.
How dare you change something?
It was a bold move for such a...
for the audience that it was going after, it was a bold move for the series.
Yeah, to me, it's a good choice. Like, when you change a character to move a story forward, and that's great. But he makes a totally great point that all fandoms do something similar to that, where people are outraged over something in the story where they really should not be doing that.
I'm sorry, the M. Night Shyamalan movie is justifiable.
That's a little different, though.
That's something completely different. That was a terrible
movie.
Technically,
all the characters were changed.
So he continues on saying that he had a response for the merchandise episode. And he feels, you know, like every time he goes to a convention, whenever he steps into a dealer's room, he has a nagging feeling that he can't leave without not getting something, which I totally understand that because I'm kind of the same way. It's always nice to bring something home from a convention. And so he has abundances of DVDs and figures. And what he does is when he constantly swaps them out. And he gives them to places like Goodwill or, you know, the Salvation Army, which that is
or
amazing.
Or send them to Wicked Anime.
Yeah. Yes. If he wants to do that, I would absolutely love to get some figurines and stuff. Because if they're going to Goodwill, they're being donated. But one of the things that I wanted to say was, I want to find that Goodwill. Because I've never been to a Goodwill where it's like, oh my gosh, this is anime! You know?
Yeah, you get a point.
If there's actually Goodwills out there that have, you know, old anime figurines, and thanks to Gerardo, that's amazing. You're doing a good job, dude. I really like that. All right, and then he goes on to talk about overrated and underrated animes. One thing he said that was absolutely incredible to me and Jonathan was he said that Dragon Ball Z is highly overrated, which yeah. I would agree with. But he said, in return, Dragon Ball is highly underrated.
Yeah.
And when he said that, I had never even thought of that, which that is 100% true.
I've had that thought since Dragon Ball was the first one I looked at. I like Dragon Ball a lot more than I like Dragon Ball Z. I still like Z, although toward the end it got pretty much crap, and I don't talk about GT. But yeah, Dragon Ball original is underrated.
And so a couple more overrated series that he talks about is Haruhi Suzumiya. When Jonathan and I first jumped into the anime lifestyle culture and stuff like that back in, you know, 2008 or something.
That show was huge.
Yeah, that was the show. Everybody was talking about Haruhi Suzumiya. Everybody was talking about SOS and Lucky Star. Those were the animes. So we heard, I still have never seen the show. But everybody, I know pretty much all about it because of how hyped it was when I first got into anime. Another overrated show is K-On!. He says that number 6 is highly underrated.
Which is it's a newer show within the past couple of years.
Yep. One of the series that I actually have yet to watch, but I do in fact have it, is Kamen no Maid Guy, which we have talked about this with the Boston Bastard Brigade. So that is actually a show that I'm about to watch. And that was one of the shows that we, in one of our segments that we did on Boston Bastard Brigade or No Boards, No Race, which was, you know, license it or, like, why haven't they licensed this yet, was Kamen no Maid Guy. And so now we also had a response from the last episode we posted, which was just so amazing to me.
It was a response to glitches.
Yeah, to Glitch in particular.
Of course.
Which was actually a fan service answer. So it was our response to a fan service answer, which he responded with a response which is now in fan service. So we have a fan service response to a fan service answer.
That was not confusing at all.
We need to draw like a map to figure out this equation. Glitch talked about Bible Black and Azumanga Daioh as a crossover. And in response, somebody said, hey, here's a fan fiction that is floating around, which is Bible Black and My Little Pony. Now, I read through it, and it's very surprisingly tame for its subject matter, but still hilarious in concept. So, Glitch, did you want to read an excerpt from the Bible Black?
Yeah, sure. Why not? Since it's not that it's been it's very tame, so I feel the need to sensual it up. Let's start with the description.
Yep.
When Twilight Sparkle suggested that they all go see a new racy movie that just came out of Qatar lot, Dash, who's all for it? And now she and her friends have to sit through a horror movie that has kissing and hugging and all kinds of weird stuff. No pairing. Bridal black. Like, I don't know, Rainey. Are you really sure this spell can make Hickory like me? The bright yellow unicorn pony asked. Her voice tingled with both embarrassment and hope. She fringed under the cool, collected gaze of her new friend and mentor, Rainy Day. Fire flicker, do you not trust me? The dark blue, almost black unicorn pony began to slow, almost menacing stalk around her younger mare, leaning in to sniff her flanks. Storm gray eyes glittering in adverse. One stocking clawed foreleg. One stocking clawed foreleg rose and brushed a vibrant red tail of her young and incredibly nervous friend. You know, in that voice, it sounds very, very wrong.
This is really weird.
We're talking about ponies here, people.
What is a flank?
that's the side of a horse's leg where, you know,
I didn't really want to know the answer.
Well, now you know.
Now you know.
Oh, that's all I'm reading right now. Go read the rest for yourself.
Dude, I'll read the next part. Get it back up.
You gonna read the next
part? I'll read the next sentence. Okay. Don't trust your flicker, someone in the audience said loudly before being promptly shushed by everyone near. Embarrassed, the pony ducked his head below the top of the seat. It's not that I don't trust you, Flicker hastened. I read words to assure her older friend. It's just that I don't know if I should be using magic to make some pony like me. Shouldn't he like me, you know, for me? Ponies, am I right?
Yeah.
That was ad lib. Why, Fire Flicker? I simply adore you for being you, Rainy Day purred seductively. This magic isn't harmful, it's simply like a spell to style your lovely mane or curl your eyelashes just more potent. What does that mean? I think I'm done reading this. I'll read the next sentence because then it's right before a longer paragraph. Flicker's eyes darted back and forth as she turned her head away, only to have her chin gently pulled back to the front as Rainy completed her circle. I don't even understand what was going on there.
I don't either, but...
There you go, folks.
In the right voice. That sounds horribly wrong.
Let's give some credit where credit is due. This is by Nuger. There you go.
that's my Nuger.
That's their screen name.
Link in the description, guys. Yeah, there's a link in the description for the rest of the story.
Don't
be afraid. It's really not that bad.
Yeah, and I'm issuing a challenge to our fans.
Oh. This again?
Yes, it's a fanfic challenge.
Why don't you...
I want to see somebody write one about us.
Why don't you Google your own nonsense?
Nope, I want it written about us because I am an egotistical asshole.
You just want to clear your history. You don't want it to be.
So guys, that was actually a little bit of a taste for fan service of us reading fan fiction. If you want to hear Glitch read more like that,
or I'm serious, write a fan fiction about us. It doesn't have to be nasty.
Or hear me pronounce words incorrectly.
I want a fanfic written about us. It doesn't have to be raunchy in any form or fashion, and we just
probably
read it.
Will be though. I mean, let's be honest.
Dylan knows what a flank is now on a horse.
I tried to zone you out. I wasn't really listening.
So if you guys want to join our conversation, maybe seriously send us over some fan fictions.
Topics, please. Yeah. We are running out.
Or any random thing you just want us to talk about or mention.
The canteen is dry at this point, people. I don't know if you can tell.
But if you guys would like to join our conversation, just email us at wickedanimereviews@gmail.com. That is wickedanimereviews, all one word, @gmail.com. You can also check out our other review videos and funny stuff on youtube.com/wickedanimereviews. You can find us on nerdyshow.com, where you can listen to this podcast if you're not listening to it on iTunes, at nerdyshow.com/wickedanime. We also have Tumblr updates, where Victoria, our Tumblr person, posts funny things all the time and interesting things around the anime culture. And finally, you can see our frequent updates at facebook.com/wickedanime, where you can like and subscribe. Please like our page. So that's it for the Wicked Anime Podcast this week.
This week?
This bye week.
Yeah, this time
in space.
This day.
So it's time for us to sign off. The only way we know how. We will see you guys next time. Okay, bye.
スパイダーマン。安らぎ捨てて全てを捨てて悪を追って空かける。君はなぜ君はなぜ戦い続けるのか命をかけて。 Spider-Man.
Spider-Man.
So, okay, yeah, that's a good place to stop. We'll move on to some fan service.
We got a couple of bit boof.
Remix.
I'm going to leave this one to Andrew.
Which one?
Fan service, because
apparently
I've reached my limit on words.
Uh-oh, that didn't work out so well for Eddie Murphy.
Yeah, I know, it lost him a lot of money.
Never once did I, oh. I never once thought I would reference that movie, and Glitch almost spewed water all over his microphone. Thanks for listening to the Wicked Anime Podcast. As listener-supported entertainment, we rely on you to keep this and other shows on the Nerdy Show Network alive by telling a friend, rating and reviewing us on iTunes, shopping at Nerdy Show.
What the fuck are you doing?
Keep quiet, I'm getting through this. NerdyShow.com/store or directly donating to the network. Any size contribution gets you exclusive Nerdy Show audio and images and lets you participate in our monthly support drives. Just go to nerdyshow.com/support to chip in. To find out how you and your company can underwrite this or other Nerdy Show programming, visit nerdyshow.com/sponsorships. For more episodes of Wicked Anime Podcast, as well as other fine programs, community forums, videos, articles, and more, head over to nerdyshow.com. You can subscribe to all Nerdy Show Network podcasts via the iTunes Store. And for the latest news, follow us on all your favorite social networks. We're glad to be your home for authentic nerdy entertainment. And don't do bad things.